Welcome, everyone. I'm Meg.
And I'm Jess, and you're listening to Post-Concert Depression.
We are here to discuss all things surrounding concerts, following bands, music, and anything else under the sun.
Join in for some undiscussed aspects of the music world while also laughing your butt off.
Let's do it.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes.
We can hear you.
You got the whole setup.
Got the setup. Yeah.
So professional.
Trying to be.
Cool. Yeah. We're excited to have you on.
Oh, thank you. I'm excited to be on. Love being on other podcasts because it's less work for me.
You guys
preach.
Be here and have fun.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and intro you. So buckle up. All right. Today we have our podcast homie. Do you go by John or Johnny?
Whatever you like, John.
Whatever. All right. We have our podcast homie, John Hurst. John and his brother, Mark, host a podcast called The Hurst Brothers New Music Review. They also put out original music to give back to their brother who has a visual impairment. We're so excited to talk to him. Welcome.
Thank you. Nice intro.
Thank you. I fucked it up, but like it is what it is.
Hey, you know, whatever happens, happens.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. Preach it. Okay, so John, do you know what post-concert depression is?
Have I felt it before? Yes. Do I know what the show is all about? Not 100%. So you'll have to fill me in.
Oh. Okay, well, I was referring to what it like, yes. What you said, the feeling. So can you tell us a concert where you experienced post-concert depression?
Oh yeah, 100%. So one of my favorite artists is a guitarist, singer, songwriter called John Butler, and he plays in the John Butler Trio. Just been my favorite artist forever. And he came to Toronto a couple of years ago and I went and saw him, and it was just the best show I've ever seen in my life. Like, never wanted it to end. And so surprised how amazing he was live. Like, sounds better than the records. And so I was so bummed out leaving that concert. And to this day, I still think about it all the time. I'm like, that was the greatest concert I've ever been to. So that's probably the closest I've ever been to a post-concert depression. Does that fit your box of definition?
Yeah.
Yeah. How long ago was that? Did you say?
Probably 3 years ago, I think.
Oh, dang.
Two and a half, three
that
years.
That affected you. You're hanging yeah. on.
Yeah.
Has he been back since?
Yeah, I think COVID happened and he's been, he's Australian. So I think he's been touring in Australia for the last couple of years. And obviously I'm not going out there anytime soon, but
yeah,
no, but I'd go, this is the type where, I mean, if he was in the States and I could make it, I'd buy a ticket and I'd fly just to see the concert for sure.
Yeah. That's the attitude.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So we want to know what your a favorite album you have that you would bring on a deserted island. Like, if you could bring one album, what would it be?
Oh my God. So I like a million different types of music. It's not just one style. So that's really hard for me because sometimes I'm feeling rap. Sometimes I'm feeling dance music. Sometimes I like country. But, oh geez, if I had to pick one album.
What are you, so like right now, where are you falling on the spectrum? Like, what have you been listening to recently?
Right now I'm a lot of like weird alternative but hip hop style. That's kind of what I'm feeling now. Like, there's a couple smaller bands. Like, we interviewed a band, No Suits, and I listen to their music all the time. They kind of fall into like even like Dirty Heads. I'll listen to that, like just very odd stuff, I guess.
It's not odd. It's what you like.
It's what I like. It's just hard to describe. It doesn't fit in a little box of like, oh, this is heavy metal. So I'm kind of all over the place. But yeah, if I had to bring like one album that I could only listen to for the rest of my life, honestly, I'd probably pick like a Michael Jackson Greatest Hits. Can never
go. Solid, like pretty like, yeah, I feel like that would be a good vibe. You can never go wrong with that.
Well, now you have to answer the question because I want to know. Jess and Mick, what is it? What's the album?
I'm going Unsigned by Cal Scroobie.
Oh,
classic album. He's a rapper. I don't know if you'd be in. Well, I don't know. You said you live abroad.
What's it called? Unsigned?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I almost wore that hat, Meg.
I love that hat.
By Cal. Who's the artist?
Cal Scroobie. S-C-R-U-B-Y.
I'm starting a list. I'm sure I'm going to walk away with a huge list of music to listen to.
Yeah, love it.
What would mine be? I honestly feel like I was so obsessed with this in high school. Confessions by Usher.
Ooh.
It's a good one. Loved that album. I was like, every song I was like, yes.
Great one.
Nice. Have you listened recently, Jess?
What? To Usher?
Yeah.
No, it
does just still hit.
Well, because I was thinking, I was like, I was really obsessed with that album, and then I was really obsessed with Take Care by Drake. That whole album was really good. Because I feel like I get into like specific songs from people's albums. Mm. Oh my god, why didn't I answer this? Harry Styles' latest album. That's what I would take. That's my final answer.
Is that Watermelon Sugar?
What is it called? I think it's called Fine album. Line.
Oh yeah, Fine Line.
Fine Line, Harry Styles. Final answer. He's cool. I just love him so much. Yeah.
Do you listen to Harry, John?
No. Well, I mean, whatever's on the radio.
Watermelon Sugar.
I know Watermelon Sugar.
You get down?
Well, yeah, I'm down.
That is a jam. Like, that song slaps.
Yeah, it gets stuck in your head for days. So, well, I haven't checked out the rest of his stuff, but maybe I will.
Yeah.
You should. Jess is all about Harry. Big stan over there.
I mean, I could talk about him for ever.
Okay, well, we're not going to.
Okay, I know.
John, can you tell us a little bit about your story? Like, how did you get started in music? Because you and your brother create music, so
yeah,
tell us all about it.
Okay, cool. So grew up playing, piano from a super young age, moved into guitar, kind of did it for years and years and years just for myself. Like, hated playing in front of people, got shy and was just like, no, I do this. This is my me time. So loved playing guitar, always like sang with it, but would only ever do that if it was just me. And then probably 6 or 7 years ago, we started, Mark started picking it up too and started playing bass. And then we would play together. And it was just so much fun. We loved it together. We're like, man, this is the coolest. We can go into the basement and jam for hours. And then met a couple other friends that played instruments too. And one of our good friends is a drummer. Another good friend is a singer-songwriter too. So we all kind of started just getting more and more open and more into it. And then really started going up to our cottage, and we'd bring all of our friends, and then, you know, started with just an acoustic guitar. And then the next weekend was like, okay, now the drum kit comes up, and then we had to get a PA system. And then we had to get like, you know, triangles and tambourines. And it's like, it's turned into this whole like massive concert venue at our cottage. And so got more and more comfortable playing live. And just loved playing. And we just did cover songs. Like, we were just like, this is so much fun. Let's just play covers of the songs that everybody knows and everybody loves. And so, yeah, we started doing that for a while. And then we were like, how cool would it be to play a real concert? Like, you know, the guys that are actual musicians that play actual concerts. We're like, we could do that. Let's give that a shot. So then thought, okay, well, let's pick a charity. And like you mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, our youngest brother's visually impaired. So we thought, okay, cool, let's raise money for a charity that we work with called Fighting Blindness Canada. And so we thought, let's raise money for them. Let's do this big concert. We'll invite all of our friends and family. We'll sell tickets. We'll sell alcohol. And we'll just put on a big show. And so we did that in 2019 in the summer. It was so much fun. We set up another one immediately. So we did two in 2019 and loved it. And then basically thought, man, how cool would it be if we could just play our own music? Mm-hmm. So end of 2019, I started learning how to record, how to mix, how to master, like all the stuff that goes behind writing your own music. And then we just started making music for fun. And yeah, it's been a long journey, but I guess it's like a 2-year journey max. And we get so much better with each one. And we just have more and more fun. And yeah, the pandemic kind of threw a wrench in our whole momentum.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's where we're at now.
How did you guys promo that? Like, I'm just curious, that like, did you have a big turnout for the concert?
Oh, I think I think you're frozen. Oh no.
I think I have a bad connection right now.
Okay. We can hear you now.
Did you hear my question?
I can hear you, but you guys aren't moving. You're frozen.
Oh,
hello.
Let's see.
Well, now you're frozen.
Frozen.
John.
John, where art thou?
Come back to us, bud.
What's happening?
I don't know.
I don't know. It's a you problem.
I think it is a me problem. I've never had this before.
Oh no. Okay. Well, I asked, did you hear my question? Or
no.
Okay. All right. So how did you guys promo that concert? Like, did you guys have a big turnout? Like, I'm just so curious how you, are you frozen again? Or are you just looking?
Frozen again. Oh my God. Come on.
This is hilarious. Maybe it's the question. Maybe I shouldn't ask this.
Yeah. Okay. So let's maybe move on and see if that helps. It's just,
well, he's just like frozen now on my end.
Yeah, he's, oh,
now he's gone.
Peace out. Oh, there he is. I was like, I hit the button. Maybe. Oh, okay. Oh my God.
Hey.
I don't think you can hear us yet.
Hey. Hello.
I think I'm back.
Okay, I think you are too.
I think we're good.
We just tested hey like 7 times to see if you could hear us.
It's so strange.
Oh, okay. I got nervous for a second.
I know. It paused for a quick sec. Okay, back on track. We're gonna try the question one more time. Go ahead, Meg.
Okay, John.
Yeah, I'm here. I can hear you guys.
Okay, when you put on this concert, how did you guys promo that to like your surrounding area? Did you guys have a big turnout? Like how'd you do it? I'm pretty interested.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. So
Meg, to answer your question. So we didn't do any promo. It was just friends and family. And I think our first concert we had, I don't know, maybe like 60, 65, 70 people there.
That's and fun then though.
A lot of people that, yeah, very intimate, like just good friends. And then after the first one, like all the people didn't come, saw some of the videos and all of those people told their friends. And then it was like the next one was like 150 people, 200 people. And we're like, oh, this is great. So then our big plans was like the next one, we're going to do the whole deal. Like, let's try and promote it a bit. Let's sell tickets. Let's, you know, let's get machines and lasers and all that good stuff. And then, yeah, that just hasn't happened yet. So we did a digital one, which was promoted through the charity that we worked with. But had a pretty good turnout, but I don't care much for that because it's not as fun to digitally play music.
Yeah.
Like, you just walk on Zoom.
It's a virtual show.
Yeah. Yeah, like the connection isn't there and like you don't get to see like the energy of the people. Was it nerve-wracking playing in front of your friends and family for like the first time?
A little bit. I think to me, I was more just worried about it sounding good. I wasn't worried about like us messing up. It was like, well, you know, I didn't want to deal with like feedback and, oh, we couldn't hear the vocals on that song. So like getting all of that right, I think was a bit nerve wracking, but the actual playing part for the first show, we rehearsed a fair amount, but it still is like the way that our shows go. It's like Mark and I rehearse a bunch and then we send the songs to our drummer and we're like, yo, just learn these. And then when we go, he's playing some of them. He's like, I don't remember that song. We're like, yeah, just play along. And so,
figure it out.
Just wait. Like, nobody knows. I love it.
Yeah.
So you kind of said this a little bit, but because you taught yourself how to like produce and master and stuff. What about the songwriting process? Like, did you learn to write or did you guys just kind of wing it?
Yeah, we wing everything. So the actual like writing of our music is very much like Mark and I sit down or I sit down, play a few things. We're like, ooh, that sounds cool. Let's go with that. And then you just kind of build and build and build and build. And then it's like, all right, let's write vocals. And that takes like 10 minutes. And then it's like, oh, okay, cool. Like, let's on to the next
one.
That
takes you 10 minutes. I'm like really impressed.
We don't put enough thought into it.
Which honestly might be like better.
But
not saying there's a best way to do it, but then like you're not really thinking about it. Meg and I did an episode recently where we attempted to write a song and we were like, what are we doing?
So bad.
What?
It's called Relapse. Just check it out.
No, please don't.
I was listening to it the other day and I thought it was really funny.
Yeah, I feel like you're really into it, Jess, and I feel like it's not my bad.
I forced Megan to do it. Okay. So just winging the process of songwriting. I love it.
Just wing everything, right? When you're learning, and it's also, there's no pressure of, oh, we have to, you know, it's not like, oh, the fans need this or what. It's like, man, we're just doing this for fun. We're just doing this for ourselves. And so when we're over a song, we're over a song. When we're like, yeah, that's done. That's like, it's not great, not perfect, but let's go on to the next one, 'cause I don't want to get hung up. So we'll just push that to the side and then let's work on something else. And then like, we have an album that we're going to launch sometime in the fall, which is like 4 songs that we're like kind of proud of, that we think, oh, these ones are really cool. Like, I enjoy listening to them and I think other people will too. So that was exciting. And then now we're in the process of figuring out, well, how do we, like, maybe we should promote those songs a little bit so that we don't just stick them on Spotify and like our 10 friends listen to it. Yeah. So trying to learn that's like the business side of the music as well, which is, has been fun. It's a constant learning curve though.
It really is. Well, and you're just like, I just want to do it for fun and put it out and just like, let it be. But like, marketing is a thing for a reason. And like, you like to get it out to people to get your stuff heard. So.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be nice if people listen to your music. Like, who doesn't want that? Right.
Yeah.
But I'm not like quitting my job and thinking like, I'm going to be famous. It's just, no, well, let's just put the music out, but then try and get it on some radio stations and try and get it on some playlists. Then that's a bonus.
Me? I think he lagged a little bit, but you still sounded good. Meg, are you frozen?
Okay. I think I froze. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Yeah. Meg, like,
can you see me moving?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, don't move too fast.
Sorry. I did want to know, like, what would you categorize your music as? Like, what kind of genre do you guys fit into?
Or do you?
Mm-hmm. So like the first 4 or 5 songs that we did were like kind of like rock, like indie rock style of music, but that was just because like, we thought it was easier and was more so revolved around like what would be fun to play, like to play live. Mm-hmm. So we did those, and then this new stuff that's coming out in the fall is more, I would say, like funk with hip hop. So it's like kind of like rapping verses, but very funky music, like real instruments, key bass lines. Like, yeah, that was what we were kind of going for, is like funk hip hop type stuff.
Really, wait, okay. So do you have a Twitter?
No, I don't have a Twitter.
Okay. Well, I can promote you on Twitter, but you guys need to get a Twitter. We're really good at that. We're good at promoting.
All right. Okay. Maybe I'll do that. I got talked into getting a TikTok
account.
You won't
do that. Don't lie to me.
I might do it. We'll see. I got talked into a TikTok account. They're like, you got to have TikTok. You got to have TikTok. And then I got TikTok and I was like, now I'm stuck on TikTok for half an hour every day watching TikTok videos.
Like, right. I had to delete my name.
Twitter, and now I'll be tweeting all the time and stuff. So, yeah.
Honestly, I feel like Twitter is one of my favorite spaces to be in. Like the jokes and stuff and like the, like, it's like, I wouldn't say depressing humor, but it's like, it's just really funny.
Yeah.
I feel like that's where I stay like, up to date with all of my music.
What's that?
I said, I feel like that's where I stay up to date with all of my music, like different artists. Am I frozen? Am I talking? Really?
No, I can hear you.
Okay. Cause there was no reaction.
No, I can. It glitched. I can hear you.
It glitched. Okay.
That's interesting. Interesting. Yeah. I obviously don't use Twitter. I'll use Instagram like for finding new bands and following what they're up to and stuff like that. And we're like, we get a ton of emails every day from indie artists that want podcasts. So then I'll check out their Instagram and see, you know, their page and listen to some of their music through there. But I haven't checked out Twitter yet.
Good space.
All right. Okay. So kind of shifting gears a little bit. Did you guys start a nonprofit or are you working with a nonprofit?
So we like started a nonprofit. So Hearst Brothers Concert for the Blind is a nonprofit, but then all of our revenue goes to Fighting Blindness Canada, which is for-profit charity.
Okay. So can you kind of tell us about starting that nonprofit?
Yeah, it was like, we're doing concerts and we're going to make money doing it. And we don't want to keep any of the money. So let's just register it as a nonprofit, which like, I have a background in banking. So it's pretty easy. Just do it that way. Set up an account. And yeah, we just basically take all the money in and then at the end of the show, cut a check to Fighting Blindness and nobody gets the tax credit for doing it that way, because it wouldn't be fair if one person the tax credit under their name, right?
Right. Wouldn't we even thought about that?
Well, and can you tell us a little bit about, like, so what is that charity like? And obviously it sounds like, you know, it was inspired by your younger brother. Can you just talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, for sure. So the condition that our youngest brother has is like a degenerative retina condition. So there's a lot of people in Canada that have this as well. And it's essentially your retina starts to slowly degenerate over time. And so you have vision, but it can be in various stages of deterioration. So, you know, it's definitely something that is super impactful to the way that people live, but you don't really think about it if you don't know anybody that deals with it. Mm-hmm. And so us seeing our youngest brother, like, obviously not able to drive, like, needs assistance with many aspects of day-to-day life, it's really hard, right? And it's hard to find a job, it's hard to integrate into society. So Fighting Blindness Canada does some of the top, like, my mother had already been kind of associated with them, and they have all sorts of different groups, and they'll help, like, you know, different, like, he gets these computers through them that are easier to read and stuff like that. So we knew about them already, and they do some really cutting edge research in that field. So all the money that goes to them, like, they're working on these trials right now, I believe in North America, on somehow, like, transplanting retina into somebody whose retina have deteriorated, and that should and completely fix their vision. So wow. It's not something that's uncurable. It can be done. It's just, we're not there yet scientifically. Uh-huh. And it takes a lot of money to fund these trials, like, to do the research and to actually get to the space where you can start doing testing. It takes a lot of money. So, I mean, it's not like we're funding that much. Like, we're a small show, but we just thought, hey, if we're going to do this, like, let's make a little bit of cash and let's kind of work with a cause instead of just doing it for, you know, for fun. It's fun, yeah. But then at the end of the day, a little bit of money covers all of our expenses, and then the leftover all goes to Fighting Blindness.
Yeah.
I love that.
No, that's awesome. I love that you, like, want to just give back and, you know, use it for something good. And, like, even if you think, like, it's small, like, every little bit counts. So I think that's really nice to do that.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. I thought so too. I was like, if my brother didn't have it, we would have picked something else. We would have picked, like, wildlife or something. Or it's just like, you know, you're doing that type of a thing, why not send it to a cause? Also gets people more excited about it too, so they don't mind paying for a ticket to see, like, a couple of guys that aren't that good playing a show. But it's like, oh, cool.
Stop talking about yourself like that. You guys are good.
We're getting better. We're getting better. The next show is going to be great. I'll send you the promo material on Twitter when we get there.
Meg's like, got it. Checklist.
Yeah, I'm in. Can you tell a little bit about, like, balancing and managing your day-to-day job with all of your musical things? Because I know, like, you obviously are playing, but you've got a podcast, and you mentioned that you have a job and your brother has a job. So can you speak on that a little bit?
Yeah, it is tough. It was easier when we were in lockdown because there was mm-hmm. nothing else to do. So it was like, okay, cool. I'm working from home. So I work from home until 5 o'clock, do my whatever, and then spend 2-3 hours a night in my little studio that you're seeing here. So it was either, if I'm not editing podcast videos, then I'm editing music. If I'm not doing that, then I'm editing music videos or whatever. It's just, you know, I'm pretty organized. So it's like, I know what needs to get done each. And then every day I have a few tasks to get done at night. Now it's becoming more challenging because other thing gets in the way. Like, I want to go golfing, or I want to go to the cottage on the weekend. And then it's mm-hmm. like, oh, when am I going to edit this episode for the podcast? It takes a lot of time. And especially when it's kind of like, I'm doing majority of that right now. So it's tough. And
it can be daunting kind of at times. Behind.
Yeah. I just had to take a week, or we release a podcast every 2 weeks, because I thought I can't do any more than that.
Yeah, that's what we did too. We were it's getting to be too much, and we don't want to, again, like you said about, like, making music and stuff, like, taking the pressure off. And so we were like, you know, we don't want any pressure. Like, we just want to do, like, what feels good for us. And so we feel
well, and this is supposed to be something that's fun and, like, a passion project. And I felt like I was getting releasing every week and, like, trying to get content every week. It was just becoming not fun. So
yeah. It becomes a work, and then you're like, I have a second job getting paid for. So, right, you know,
exactly.
Yeah, that's where I'm at too. And we're we're going to take a step back when we finish our first season. I think we wanted to do 25 episodes. And so we're at like 20 or 21 or something. But I'm like, we need to take a figure out what's the best way to proceed. Like, does it make more sense to do one a month and do, did I lose you guys here?
No. Oh, I think we both were just really tuned into what you were saying.
Oh. Okay. I didn't have friends for a second, but
it is getting a little like glitchy on my end.
Same.
Yeah, it comes
and now
in
I think
waves.
You're frozen.
Up.
Oh no. Hello. Okay, yeah.
Okay. So yeah, like it might make more sense for everybody if we do one a month and we just focus on doing a really good one. And then it's more fun for us. And then, but you know, then you compete with these people that are, you know, paid to do it. And they release an episode twice a week. And everyone's like, more content. Like the more you put, more people will gravitate towards you. But right. It's like, well, then, but if I'm struggling to do it and then it's not that great of content, like, why am I putting it out there?
That's true.
So
yeah.
That's what you have to really sit back and think of. Like, it's, I think quality is better than quantity. So if it makes more sense for us to do one good one a month,
yeah,
then let's do that as opposed to struggling to keep up on a bi-weekly, which is where I'm at right now because I just got back from vacation and I'm like, I'm behind. I have to go and spend the next three nights editing, which is not that fun. I don't mind, but it's not, you know, it's more fun recording them.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So that's my thoughts. It's a struggle, but you got to find a balance that works and don't be afraid to adjust. That's what I'm thinking too. Like, I'm not tied to this. I'm not obligated to do this every other week.
Right.
You know, I don't think our fans will be too upset if we miss a week. So we'll figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, and you can't, like, if there are people asking, like, you can't go with what they want. Like, you have to do what's best for you and like what you want. Like, it's what you're putting out. And like, even if people like it or don't, like, I always say, like, if you like it, then that's all that matters.
Of course.
Preach it.
Until it's good.
And then
until it's what?
I said in real job, then you have
to. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's
if like, if that's your like 100% focus and dedication, you know, obviously, like, I think we all have to make money and then do our side stuff. So, and until or it becomes something that you can put all of your attention to, then.
Exactly.
So I feel like I could sit here all day and just be like, oh my God, I want to like schedule people for the podcast, figure out how to make money, plan for future episodes and like watch all this music stuff to get content and like things to talk about. But I'm like, oh, sometimes I just don't have time for that.
Yeah, exactly. You just want to watch it. It happens. So yeah,
we just feel that.
Keep it fun. Just keep it fun. As long as fun, keep doing it. That's my theory. So
hey, that's
we'll keep doing
slogan.
It for now.
I like that theory.
Yeah. That's what it's all about.
Okay. So are you into manifestation at all?
Oh, I've had a couple of these conversations.
And what does that mean?
I'm a really like analytical and logical thinker. So I think there's a lot of merit in like of manifestation, but then there's also a lot of confirmation bias that comes out of people who get really into that style of thinking. So it's, I like to look at it like a really smart way. So if we're thinking like, okay, if we're talking manifestation, like I'm an indie artist, I believe that I'm going to be the next Harry Styles. That's great. Like, and you know, if you think that hard enough and you really believe it and you work your ass off towards it, like you've got a better shot than people that don't think that way for sure. But then again, like there's 10 million people that are trying to manifest that reality. And sometimes luck plays a bit of a role in it, I think.
Interesting. I just think like, it's kind of like a boomerang where like what you put out into the universe is going to like be returned to you. And so that's more so my thinking of it, but you also, Meg keeps me on this. She's like, you have to be realistic about it.
I am a realist.
But
say I am.
The whole point is, do you and Mark have like any, you don't have to call it manifestation, but any like future goals or like, what do you see in the future for the Hearst Brothers podcast, music, et cetera?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I'm still sticking with the, if it's fun, we'll keep doing it.
Yeah.
And if other, like we're super genuine, like, and that's the thing. Like, it's like, if people like what we do, then then you like us, then you'll follow. And that's great. And we love that. Welcome aboard. Welcome to the family. But I'm not going to go out of my way to be inauthentic to try to drive more of that. Right. So we'll keep doing it because we love it. And I've noticed like we get better and better and better as we go. Like our music gets better, our content, our quality, the podcast gets better. Like everything gets better. So if it gets to the point where it's like, oh, wow, these are, you know, potentially earn some income doing this. Fantastic. We'll keep doing it. But if it never gets to that point, we'll probably keep doing it just because we enjoy it.
Yeah.
Especially the meat part. Right. So it's like, where do I see us? I don't know. We'll just keep pushing and keep driving. And, you know, if we ever get an opportunity to get, you know, a larger audience, then we'll take it. But I don't like lay awake at night thinking, oh, no, I only have this many fans.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, we'll just keep going. Move on to the.
I love that, John. That's great.
Thank you. I agree.
Yeah. Fun first. You got to have fun. So if it's not fun anymore, I'm not doing it. But
Exactly. Absolutely.
All right. So we know on your show, you guys rate music.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So we thought it would be fun if some of our favorite jams you rated on the show.
Oh, perfect.
Okay. Are you down?
I'm down.
Okay.
You want me to play them, Meg?
You know what our rating scale is, though?
Okay. So I forget the third category, but you rate it based on the vibe, the lyrics and vocals, right? And then what's the third one?
Lyrics and vocals, sound and song structure, and coolness and vibe.
Okay.
And it's, 1 out of 10 biscuits.
Yes, biscuits. Does that have a meaning or did you just like say biscuits?
Yeah, it's a late night hot tub conversation of like, well, we can't do stars, so what are we going to do? And then Mark's like, biscuits. It's like, all right, biscuits it is.
Right. Okay, so the first song is going to be by a band named Time Flies. This band is the reason Jess and I met, and we were like hardcore. So if you hate it.
No, you give your honest opinion, but we want you to read.
Honesty is key.
All right. What's the song called? Time Flies?
Yep. It's called Stuck With Me.
I'm going to play it.
Rippy.
Sun is on the way. Come over here and lay. What are you afraid of? Expressions on your face easily explain. You're worried about the fame. I won't let it change us. And I
should I do the whole song or keep going?
Is that enough for you to rate?
That's enough. That's enough.
Okay.
You know what?
That's with it.
So from what I could hear, I can't judge on like sound quality or structure, but I trust that it's a good, like it's well done. It sounds professional. I'm going to trust that it does, but I'm just going to talk about what I immediately liked. Love the atmospheric like presence, like that little like doi, 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 doi. Like that sounded really cool. Like I like it. It's like sampled a little bit and I'm sure it's probably spread out over a really wide horizon. So I like that. That sounded cool. It reminded me of like some of the stuff you hear in your more like not EDM, but like, you know what I mean? Like it's got like like a Calvin Harris type style to the instrumental.
Yeah.
So I like that. I like that sample. And then the lyrics sound fantastic. That's a wonderful sounding voice. I got to say.
It's a wonderful sounding voice.
I like that.
You love him.
Yeah. I think this would be a high biscuit earner on my books for sure.
Okay.
So if you're going to make me rate it, I'm going to go 9 biscuits.
Okay.
Wow.
Ooh.
I wrote it down. So I'm interested. It sounds really cool. Sounds like a nice band.
It's like, so there were two guys in the band, and Rob, like, he's like a really good producer, and there's like these loops of them going like behind the scenes, and it's just like so cool to listen to in the song. And we love it because it's also like a love song for his former, well, now wife. But
all right. So our next song is called Super Bloom by a band named Mr. Wives. Have you ever heard of them?
No, I haven't.
No? Okay. Well, so a little background. Do you want background or no? Would that?
No, I feel like we should
have background.
Listen.
Give it to you?
Yeah, give me the background.
Okay. So the lead singer, Mandy, and the drummer were in a really long 8-year relationship. They got engaged, got married. And then on Valentine's Day, he broke up with her. I know. Pretty terrible. So Super Bloom is all about like her like coming out of things stronger and just being resilient. So this is Super Bloom.
Do they still play together?
Yes. Which I don't know how.
I don't know either. I don't think I could do that. But I mean, props to them for putting
it
aside for everyone. Because there's like seven people in the band. Six?
Yeah. Well, Mandy and ATN just did a, like, you know, on Twitch, how Rolling Stones will like interview people. Do you know that they do that?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So Mandy and the drummer ATN were interviewed, and the host was like, so I noticed that your sound kind of shifted over the years, and now it's kind of a little bit more dark. And she's like, you're so sweet. It's because I got my heart broken.
It's fine. By this guy right next to me.
Yeah. It's just very awkward.
All right, I'm gonna play the song.
All right. That's cool.
Oh, you like?
I like that. Yeah, I like that a lot. It's very it just sounds funkiness that I like to it too. Mm-hmm. Like I could definitely jam to that. That's cool. Sounds like a good dance track.
Yeah. Mr. Wives the best. Is like I just feel like I'm gonna rate Mr. Wives overall, all of their music, 10 biscuits for sure. It's always like the vibe.
1,000%.
The vibe is always there.
Yeah.
Nice.
And they put on a great live show.
Yes.
Yeah. That's important too. Like if they can, you know, there's too many people that don't think about that, and they make great music in the studio and then they don't know how to translate it onto a stage.
But, I love what you said earlier about, I forget who you said your favorite was.
John Butler.
Yes. How it sounded better live. And I love that when like, you know, you can really dig it recorded, but then it's even better live. Like that's like the ultimate like person to follow or go see live. So
for sure. Well, with him, he started the other way, right? So like he's a amazing guitarist, and the tones that he creates are, and the songs that he writes are designed to be played live.
Oh yeah.
And they figured, okay, let's go recreate that in the studio. And it sounds great, but it's really meant to be live.
Yeah.
But now you've got all these like bands and artists or whatever that have never played live and have no idea how to, but can play around with 1,000 different plugins on their computer and come up with something really cool.
Right.
But then, you know, don't know how to play a guitar, don't know how to play the keyboard even. They just clicked this into existence on their program. And that's cool. And the music's cool, but like you can't translate it into live. And I like
that's the live interesting music to think about.
Yeah.
I guess I've never. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I could figure out how to do that too, but I don't know how to play a damn instrument. Like, I wouldn't know the first thing about doing anything live.
But if you watched enough YouTube videos and learned the software and learned the programs, you could make really good music without knowing how to play any instruments at all.
Yeah.
But then, you know, then you have your first concert and people are like, what is this?
You're like, what are you doing? Yeah. I like a well-rounded artist. I would definitely not be one of those.
Yeah. Me too. 10 biscuits for me, Miss Wives. That's cool. That's on my
We love. Yeah, I like.
Love it.
Okay.
All right. Our last one, the Floorwalkers, yeah. They're from Ohio. And then this Ooh. Is like a love song.
What is I heard Ohio was for lovers.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
What's it called? Sorry. Floorwalkers?
It's called Some Love. Well, the Floorwalkers is the band. The song is Some Love.
Okay. I'm ready.
I can't hear it, Jeff. Okay.
You guys switched up on me. Totally different. I like it. I like it. It's got some like country folky style influence in it, but it's nice. Especially when the chorus yeah. came in. Gave me a real like Chris Stapleton vibe, not the vocals, but like just the way the song was moving.
Yeah.
Interesting. I feel like they're kind of versatile because that song, I would not like say it compares to some of their other songs. Like Kiss the Queen right. is way more like rocky and
here, let me play that one.
Just yeah, I could tell what, even when the chorus came in, it was like, oh, that took a little bit of a different direction.
A shift.
Yeah.
I'm going to play this Very just cool. for a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my vibe. Like I like that. That I can see that. Like I that would be a great concert or a great festival.
Oh, they put on a great show.
I can imagine.
You would like them. You should look them up.
Yeah.
I'm going to. It's probably like a 15 person band or something.
There are three main guys, and then there's like the drummer and the keys player. They kind of like switch in and out sometimes.
Oh, really? They have live horn section?
No.
I don't know.
No. Glad you liked. So that's a high biscuit.
That's a high biscuit. That's another 9. I'm a big fan. Nice. I like it.
Wow. So Mr. Wise was the winner.
Ooh.
Yeah, that one caught my attention. It was different. I liked it. I like them all. Great recommendations. I got four songs. No, three songs in an album ready to go here.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
Thank you. I'll give you guys an artist.
Oh, hold on.
Okay, yeah.
We'll get there. Are we there yet?
Okay.
Well, I'm just... So are you going to look up Cal Scribby? Because I'm interested to see your thoughts.
Should we play him some?
No.
No, you look him up and you can let us know.
Yeah. If you listen, I'm interested.
All right. I'll let you know my feedback. I'll download the album. But I do like you. Do you like the album? So I will download the album.
And I love the album, like to yes.
album start to back. So when I go like maybe next weekend when I drive up north, I'll put that on song one and I'll listen to it all the way through. I might skip it if I'm really not feeling something, but I like
to listen to it. If you don't like it, don't listen to it.
Yes, but listen and let us know your thoughts.
I'll let you know.
All right. So now our favorite time of the pod, artists of the week. So every week we give a shout out to an artist that we think deserves more streams or some more love. Our artist of the week is the Hearst Brothers.
Yay! But
thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So then you give us somebody that you think deserves some love and who we should check out.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll change my recommendation because they don't need more help. They're blowing up.
Well, this band that we would like to hear that and then maybe give us someone else.
Yeah.
Okay.
Give us both.
So yeah, I'll give you both. So if you haven't heard of this band, they're another Australian band. I feel like based on what you guys just showed me, you really like some of their songs. They're called the Teskey Brothers.
I haven't heard of that. Or that,
no?
I guess.
No.
The Teskey Brothers. Teskey.
T-E-S-K-E-Y. Ooh. Teskey Brothers from Australia. They're so good live. So like almost before you listen to the music, watch some of their YouTube sets. Like it just singer is incredible. What's that?
Like a good stage presence.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Wicked band. Band that I think deserves a little more love. I mean, that's what our whole show is about. So I like that. Yeah. I've got 100 of them I could give to you, but I'm really there's this band. It's hard to pick one, but like there's this band that I don't even remember where they're from. They're called Leslie. Oh, the Great Leslie. I think from the UK somewhere. Sorry, guys, if I'm wrong. The Great Leslie. Yeah. They're doing some great things right now. There's some Great Leslies that they're releasing a ton of new music. The singer is incredible. Like his voice is, he has got incredible range. And I like their songs. It's really good. So if you haven't heard the Great Leslie, we had them on the podcast on a couple episodes ago.
Okay.
And they scored some high biscuits.
High biscuits. We like some high biscuits. We love a high biscuit.
Oh, yeah.
Yay.
They're good.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm excited definitely to check these people out. Yeah.
Awesome.
All right. Well, that wraps up.
I have a quick random thought. Do you have any concert pet peeves?
Do I have pet peeves?
Like concerts, like related to live music.
Ooh, I don't like when people film the whole thing on their phone. Like, just watch it.
Yeah,
just watch experience the show. It. You're not gonna watch this later on your phone. Like,
nope. I have so many videos that I never watch again.
No, because if you can watch the good ones on YouTube, but just soak it in. I hardly film it at all. I'm going to ask you the same thing, but I will also say that like I'm very tall. So when I go to concerts, I feel terrible for people behind me. If we're standing, like you're not seeing anything. If you're standing behind me, I'm always like, oh, sorry. Like
I'm not sorry, but also not. Cause it's like, you want to also be close and you can't help that.
But I can see, like, I'll see over your heads. So I can be 20 rows back and like, I get a great view. But if you're like 5'2" and you're standing behind me, you're watching the back of my head for the whole show.
It is what it is.
It's a weird, like, I want to get close, but I don't want to be too close. So it's like, oh, can I go off to the side? Like that's the wings that go through my brain in a concert.
Do you go to a lot of concerts?
Yeah, as much as I can. I love live music. Love it.
Yeah.
I've been to a ton of concerts in Toronto. My brother was in school in Dublin, and it wasn't concerts, but it was like every pub you go to is a different band playing. It's just, the music scene's incredible. I've been to Nashville before. And
oh, I used to live there.
Oh, lucky you.
But also, that's, I guess, lucky. I technically used to live in Dublin too. I was there for like a summer in college.
There you go. Two of the greatest music, like live music scenes, I think.
Well, I know when I was like, when I left Ireland, I was like, oh my God, I miss all this live music. And then I lived in Nashville. And then I was like, now that I live in Denver, I'm like, oh my God, I miss that. Cause like, there's really nowhere else you can go that has that kind of live music. And
yeah,
it's just abundant. And you're like, oh
yeah,
should have taken more advantage of that.
I hear you. Well, you can always go back.
Oh yeah, true. For sure. I want to go back to like, I want to go back and live in Dublin. It's the best place.
Me too. Yeah. Crazy. Cool.
Well, thank you so much for being on, John.
Thank you for having me. And if this, I feel terrible that the quality has been so glitchy the whole time. So, I mean, if you guys are doing your magic and editing it and you're like, oh, this is trash, we can do this again.
Okay.
I'd love to.
Hopefully.
I know.
We appreciate you.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being on. It was so good to meet you.
Thank you for having me.
Hopefully in the future. Tell Mark we said hey and that we missed him.
Yeah.
Will do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's stay in touch. Absolutely.
Okay.
Awesome. Well, you really have a nice great meeting night. You. Like,
yeah, you too.
You as well. And we'll be in touch. Thanks for all the recommendations. I'm going to go check them out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You have to let us know what you think.
Yeah.
I will. I'll follow up.
Okay.
Yay. All right. Bye, John.
Okay. Bye.
As always, thanks for listening, guys.
Please remember to follow, subscribe, review, all the things. We'd love to hear your feedback.
Also, follow us on Instagram at Post Concert Depression Podcast, Twitter at the PCD Pod, and like our Facebook page, Post Concert Depression Podcast.
You can also watch our episodes on YouTube now. Yay! Catch you next time.